Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this Monday. Boy, another summer-like day. Yesterday was really, I guess yesterday was the hottest day of the year we've had thus far.
Yeah, steamy.
It was mid-90s yesterday. As a matter of fact, going to bed around midnight last night, I just decided to check what the temperature was, and Alexa said it was 80 at midnight last night. So yeah, just get ready for the warmer weather. Hope everybody doing well. Bill back in. I appreciate Dan and Don handling things on Friday as we went and saw the Stones.
How was it?
Friday. It was great. It really was. I swear. Maybe it's the latter, but it's, I felt like they were better than when I saw them around 50 years ago.
Cool.
Maybe it's just I appreciate what they have done and how they've done it and how they're still doing it even more. But Mick Jagger still dancing around 2+ hours into the performance.
That's wild.
he's skipping up and down the runway that they have built in front of the stage for satisfaction for the encore. I mean, he's just dancing around like crazy. And it was really good. Really, really good show. Huge crowd. knew a couple of, I'm sure there were quite a few folks that I know that were there, but it's funny. I mean, just got word from a couple of folks that I knew that were there. And I told Kathy, my wife, on the way down there, I said, I bet Nick Saban's at this. And it turns out he was.
There you go.
I mean, because I knew the Stones are his favorite band.
Yeah.
So it's like, to play there in Atlanta, because, I mean, you never know. You may not get another chance. May not get another chance to see him. But apparently things going so well for them on the tour, they're thinking of adding a European tour as well. So, it's going pretty well for the octogenarians. I was out Friday, in here today. Dan is off today. It's his dad's birthday, and I believe the siblings are all in town. So,
nice.
So they're spending it with his dad. So it's Brian Matthews from Auburn Sports and I with Drew at the controls here on the Monday Drive. B-Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and it's been a really busy time. I know we'll get into it more, but man, what a crazy time for recruiting right now!
Unbelievable. I mean, the 4 and 5 stars that are flocking to Auburn.
It's crazy.
I don't know. I don't know that there's ever been as much traffic with as highly touted players at Auburn.
I don't remember it in my lifetime as far as this many coming.
And the thing is, there wasn't as much focus on, and you didn't have, back in Coach Dye's time,
right.
There was not as much, you didn't have as many recruiting services, and you'd have some folks that would rank players as high as like 4. You know, you'd get I think it probably is the most highly touted players that Auburn's seen in, and they're by no means done.
Oh, no. They're about, I think they got a dozen commitments now, picked up a couple in the last, 4 or 5 days or so.
Yeah, Thursday and Friday, I guess, was.
Yeah, and I think they're going to go upwards of 22, maybe 23, 24. We'll just have to wait and see. But they're going to get as many good high school players as they can, because that's how you build a really, really talented team, and then you supplement through the transfer portal. And they haven't got to that point yet, but they are building it to that point.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I was on with Doug on the Max Roundtable earlier today, and Scott Sanderson was we were talking about that a little bit. I mean, that with the, you know, you hear, it seems like there's – there's been more buzz with the transfer portal because of the transfer portal and because of players' ability to jump wherever. But no, I mean, what you would hope you ultimately get to is where you are bringing in outstanding high school talent every year, and then you're using the transfer portal if you to plug in or to fill in some gaps that you might have because of graduation or because of the transfer portal.
Yeah, I think Georgia is a great example.
Absolutely.
What Auburn needs to be as far as the way they recruit and the way they handle their roster. I believe Georgia took 5 transfers in the 24 portal, if I'm not mistaken, something like that.
Wasn't a lot, though, for sure.
No, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but that's because they recruit so many great players every year, and those players play, and they often go to the NFL after 3 or 4 years, and they're just replaced by more great high school players.
Right.
But when you have a little shortage at this spot, or you need an extra offensive lineman, or maybe a left tackle got hurt, another one went pro, another one didn't work out, you've got to go find that left tackle. Well, they can take, you know, almost that entire focus in the portal on that one position or this one couple position. So that's where Auburn wants to be. And I think they will be there, not by this year, but next year, the next round, the 25, the
26 class.
Uh-huh. Right. I think by then they'll be in that point where they'll be much closer to where they are now, where they're taking, you know, 15 to 20 guys in the portal last couple of years.
Yeah, they've had to just to try to get the talent up there. Now, I mean, there it's never going to be a perfect situation because you may have like a situation. Let's say that in you know 2 or 3 years, Auburn's receivers that they're bringing in this year, if they really pan out and play well, you maybe need a few more receivers that year. So I mean. Either through signing or through the portal, but Georgia, I think, also shows, and Alabama has too, shows that there is a way when you're doing that you're able to continue to recruit excellent players, stack them on top year after year. Now you're not going to be able to keep every single one of them, but when things are going well, when you're producing, when you're winning championships, and you're getting guys to the league, that helps you bring more outstanding players in who might not be as quick to jump in the portal if they don't right. immediately step into the starting line.
And actually, I'm a little off on Georgia. This year they took 11. I don't think that's normal for them. But, you know, one of those guys is a kicker, another's a long snapper. So
yeah, you know what it could be because they have some guys right. that leave – earlier than they had projected.
And they got Jaden Rashada, who's a young
right.
quarterback who will have to back up, you know, an established starter who's probably a number one draft pick here after this year. So, but still, they're able to do it how they want to do it. It's not because they have to do it most of the time, and that's where Auburn needs to get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned Auburn picking up a couple of commitments. As I guess the last was the big offensive tackle, Shull.
Yes. Very talented young man, very a thinking man, offensive lineman in a lot of ways, has a lot of outside interest, I think, which are unique and interesting. And I like players like him. I think he will excel as a student athlete here at Auburn, represent Auburn very well in whatever his future is, whether it's the NFL or whether it's something else. But he's also a really good athlete, big kid. I think he's around 6'6". 285-ish, I
think. Yeah, see, now, I would assume he's got room to add a little weight.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely got plenty of room to add weight. And, you know, I would expect he will once he gets into Auburn's program. And, you know, I think he's a guy that can be a 2 or 3 year starter at tackle, whether it's left tackle, right tackle, we'll see. But he is really nimble and is really athletic for his size. So I think he's a guy that's going to eventually be a starter at Auburn. And then they also got the
Donovan Starr.
Yeah, who is a guy who's run track, played basketball, and is just recently getting into football. But he ran a legit 10.5 100 meters, which is blazing for a high school player. And the Auburn coaches got a hold of him, and they watched his football film. They've got him in. They've worked with him. Got really good hips. They like his length. They feel like he can develop into a top-tier SEC-type cornerback. So I think they want to go ahead and jump on him. And even when you're recruiting as well as Auburn is, you still want to jump on these guys who you feel like you have more information or you put more value on them than maybe some recruiting services do or some other schools. You still need to believe in
believe
in yourself and your own evaluations and your own recruiting. And that's what Auburn's done with him, Donovan Starr.
Well, and again, these guys are class of 25, yep. And quite a few times these players, a big name school gets on them, then other schools are going to see about them. And, you know, I don't know that his stock is done rising, but yeah, Auburn obviously likes both Donovan Starr and Broderick Scholl. And is that 12? Is that what you were saying? Is that 12
yes.
commitments?
And there's probably one to keep a close eye on here in the next 24 hours, I would say, maybe. He came down to the camp with the kid from
Baltimore. From Maryland.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the
Blake Woodby is his teammate at
right.
St. Francis.
And he's the safety.
Bryce
right.
Deese is a safety. He's 6'2", 200 pounds, runs really, really well. I think he really, really enjoyed his time at Auburn, and I would not be surprised if maybe he jumped up and made a decision fairly soon. Auburn offered him right after the camp, I believe, and they have him pretty high on their list, and he even moved up to a 4-star on Rivals here recently too. So that's one to keep a close eye on over the next 24, 48 hours or so.
Yeah, so that would give Auburn 13. Like you were saying, I mean, and we talked about this a couple of times. I think Auburn would like to be and sort of expects to be at around the 20 mark or so before camp gets started in August.
I mean, they're headed for that like a race car right now. I mean, I just can't see a scenario where they're not going to have 20 commits here. Just looking at all the guys that got in, and all the guys that are already starting to set up their announcements on July 4th or July 13th, and knowing already what the visit list is looking like for Big Cat July 27th, it's looking incredible. And I would expect another 3 or 4 or maybe, who knows, guys that could commit during it or shortly after it. So, yes, I think Auburn's definitely going to have 20-plus by the time we get to August 1st.
All right, we're just getting underway. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com and Bill Drew at the controls here on the Monday edition of The Drive. Love for you to join in, and you can do so. We still got the same situation with the phones that we had the other day, Drew.
Yeah.
Okay. The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. When you call in, it should automatically connect you. It'll ring. Now, if we have a caller that is already connected, it will just ring. So don't be concerned if it's just ringing, as long as you dial the right number. I mean, it is 334-321-1390. If you're, you know, if the line is open, it will go ahead and connect you, and you'll hear that swoosh sound, and then we won't be able to talk to you, screen, find out who we have. But we'll get to the phones as quickly as we can. Love for you to join in as we're just underway here on the Monday edition of The Drive.
Hey, this is Kevin Toto.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. It's Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in as well. You heard the number. Don't worry about the toll-free number. I don't know if that still works. I don't think it does. Haven't tried it in a long time. But the 334-321-1390 number will get you through. We won't be able to we won't know who we're talking to, but we'll bring you on as quickly as possible. Hey, before we get back to the recruiting and everything that was going on this past week, and how about congratulations to the Auburn men's track and field team finishing second nationally, yep. And leading, I think they were leading by 5 points going into the last event.
What was the last event?
That was a 4x400. Auburn didn't have
good enough.
Auburn was not represented in the 4x400, and Florida finished third, which got them 6 points and put them 1 point
so close
ahead of Auburn. So how about it? I mean, the men's golf team wins a national title, and Leroy Burrell's track and field team finishes 1 point shy of a national title.
And smokes the 4x100 relay
race.
Yeah,
man, how about that?
Even though the announcer was a little bit confused about the name on the front of the jersey there. But
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, if you watch the video of it, the announcer was, I forget what team he thought it was, Houston?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that, well, that was Friday, wasn't it?
I believe it was Friday.
Yeah, it was while we were in Atlanta, because I was looking on my phone and seeing a couple of things while we were there at the concert. But yeah, congratulations to them. So that's nice way to wrap up things here in the spring with the last couple of events, a national title and a national runner up.
Just Auburn being Auburn, right? The new just Auburn being
Auburn.
That's
what you hope.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you hope that. Other than that, I mean, now, Brian, I mean, it is recruiting, and that's what it is right now. I mean, if there is, if there's any news, usually it's going to be about recruiting. If there's news about current athletes, it's usually not good.
Right. And, portaling baseball, softball portal. We'll see, action there. We've already had
Auburn's got at least a couple of additions to baseball.
And I think they've got a third one today, although I haven't confirmed exactly who that is. But they did get
I saw that they got the catcher from Samford.
Yeah,
and then,
Lucas Steele. He's a switch hitter.
Right, and then Eric Snow, the infielder from South Florida.
Played mostly shortstop, but will compete with Guevara and Fabian and the freshman coming in, I can't think of his name, for those middle infield, third base type positions here, this coming up fall and going into the spring.
That and Auburn softball looking to, I guess, continue to fill out the staff and bring in some transfers as well.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think they hired a pitching coach, correct?
I believe so, who had been in the SEC at a couple of stops in the SEC and was out working at an academy or something for the last year, that'll be interesting to see how things go there. I mean, Auburn's got they've got to have a lot softball wise because you lost pitching.
Yeah,
and that was really what Auburn the best thing Auburn did this past year.
Yeah, they've got to rebuild
pitch.
The lineup.
You don't have Matty Penta, and I mean, the offense struggled this past year.
Now, I do believe, if I remember correctly, when I went back, this is back in November when they had the signees, I believe softball signed a couple really highly rated pitchers they got coming in. I can go pull that back up. But certainly that's going to be the biggest issue for the new coaching staff coming in is finding, a couple of pitchers at least, and certainly a frontline SEC starter, which is very tough to find in such a competitive league.
Oh yeah, I mean every team making the NCAA tournament, and then of course the national championship coming down to the two teams that are just 3 weeks away from being SEC teams.
That's right, and then now in baseball, you got four SEC, three ACC teams in the College World Series,
and an ACC and SEC playing for the last spot
tonight, which should be a great game. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Georgia, NC State.
Yeah, NC State blew out Georgia game one. They scored, I think it was 11 runs, I think, in the second inning. Georgia came back and blew them out yesterday. I don't remember the final, and then we'll see how it goes today. But that should be a pretty exciting game for those that love college baseball, which I do.
Yeah, and then Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee, and Texas A&M already in. Florida State, North Carolina, and Virginia are the three ACC teams that are in.
Yeah.
So,
be a great series.
Yeah. So it's either going to be five SEC and three ACC or four and four of the two. And, as you would expect. I mean, it was almost a little disappointing when out of 11 SEC teams, only six made it to Super Regionals. But of the six, five have a chance. You've already got four in, and a chance that five of the six are going to make it to Omaha.
Yep.
334-321-1390. Love for you to join in here on the Monday edition of The Drive. I was thinking about this. All right. Now, one of the things that we look forward to every Monday, I mean, Brian does his Monday musings, and today you got a combination of a couple of things. You got a combo of a couple of things on your Monday musings. You talked a little bit about all the talent and everything coming in, And then you were able to combine music and I know one of your favorite all-time series.
I mean, I basically grew up as Journey is one of my favorite groups or maybe my favorite. Sopranos is probably my favorite or close to my favorite, maybe behind Game of Thrones as far as TV series goes. And to have that collision, you know, with those two meetings.
So it was how many years ago today?
Is it 17 now? Yeah, 17 years ago. It's hard to believe.
It's like time does fly.
And they had the finale, of course, which featured Don't Stop Believing from Journey and that incredible finish, that ambiguous finish where you don't know exactly what happened, where it sort of faded to black as the man in the members-only jacket was went into the bathroom and, Meadow finally got her car parked, our parallel parked, and came in the door, and then boom, faded black. So that was a great moment. I think I can remember watching that with my wife and going, "What just happened? Did the power go out? Is the what's going on?" But yeah, that was how it ended.
Yeah, and I like that you went ahead and pointed out that Journey was not crazy about.
Right.
You know, too much gore from Don't Stop Believing.
Right. It was written by Steve Perry and Jonathan Cain and Neil Sean. And, oh, God, those great videos I pulled up. Neil Sean is such an underrated guitarist. But Steve Perry, in particular, was concerned about a gory ending, as you said, and waited until 3 days before the actual release to give them permission to use it.
Yeah, I wonder what they would have done if they hadn't gotten it.
And insisted
it's going to be another song.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. And insisted David Chase tell him the ending first. He had to keep it secret for a few days, but it worked out perfectly, I thought. And that song is, you know, I put it up there as a top 10 rock song of all time, me personally. But you know, I'm a fan of that music. So,
yeah, now that's the thing is now if you go see Journey, it's not Steve Perry.
No.
Although I see where he is thinking about. Returning to performing, in public again on the road, because that's one of the things he really got tired of, just the grind,
yes,
of tours and being out and the fans and everything. But I would guess maybe after years of not doing it, you might miss it a little bit. So yeah. I don't know if you're going to see the group back together, but you may see. Steve out.
Doesn't seem like they got along very well.
No,
in the
it
years.
It sure doesn't.
But I thought it was interesting that on Dolly Parton's latest album, Rockstar, he provided a backup vocals and sang a duet with her on that, which I had no idea. So very interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, you never know. Again, that's one of the things to keep an eye on. I'm going to toss this one out there to you and then to our listeners, because, I mean, I've talked about, you know, we're going to a few concerts. We have been, but are doing it a little bit more regularly now that we're both retired from the day jobs. And you know, I'd seen the Stones before, but it had been a long time. I mean, it was the 70s the last time I saw the Stones. We're seeing some bands that we haven't seen before. Brian, is there a band that you, if you had a chance
to go back in time?
Well, I'm.
See them?
Yeah. Are there some now that you'd like to see, or would you like, or like, you know, if you could get Journey together?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, something like that.
Fleetwood Mac, I would love to see them. Ooh, Eagles, man. Of course.
Yep.
I would love to go back. I wrote about this, but it was at the Cow Palace in San Francisco, and it was one of the only like four or five times. But Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and what was the other band? One of the band from that.
I just don't see.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, okay.
All played at the Cow Palace back in San Francisco on this, I think it was New Year's Eve. And I don't remember exactly what year it was, 92, 93, you know, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't imagine being there at that place and time. It must have been magical.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no kidding. So if you've got, if there's an act that if you could see, you would. We're trying to see as many, while they're still there.
Yeah,
we've got. Oh, we got a phone call.
All right.
Well, we'll continue down that road in just a little while. But let's get to your call, 334-321-1390. And go ahead. You're on the drive.
Crawdaddy.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Since you're talking about this, I think last week y'all had talked about maybe in songs from the 60s or whatever that the title was never mentioned in the
oh, yes.
song itself. It came immediately, Buffalo Springfield, for what it's worth. What's up with that?
That's I don't know. It's one of my all-time favorite songs, but you're right. Nowhere in there do they go for what it's worth. For what it's worth, that's probably, you know, remember that was an old phrase people used to just throw out an awful lot. That's probably what they did, something like that. But you're right. What a great song. But the title isn't anywhere to be found.
And the other one, I think it may be Harper's Bazaar, 59th Street Bridge song?
Feeling Groovy?
Yeah, Feeling Groovy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, because, yeah, I was thinking Rainy Day Women, number 34. You know, I was just like, there are quite a few that are great songs. But if you didn't know the song title, you probably still don't.
I wanted to call in since Brian was there, since he's a music buff. Enjoy the show, my friend.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Crawford. Crawdaddy himself. Yeah, great hearing from you. All right, so, yeah, we've got... I think America is next. No.
Another band I'd love to see.
No, it's I think Styx and Foreigner is next, and then America, and then Aerosmith.
Lineup. That's a great lineup. Yeah.
Now I got something, and I love going over to Montgomery to Impact. That's a great venue over there. They have some acts that you don't find other places, and I got notification as we were on the way to Atlanta the other day that they've added a show on the same weekend. All right, we've got Aerosmith on Friday night, October the 11th, I guess is what that is, because Auburn's off October 12th. So we got Aerosmith tickets on Friday night in Atlanta. We got ELO tickets on Saturday in Atlanta. And then I got a thing. It's like, well, we just need one more concert on Sunday to wrap up the series. I don't know how this one would work. It would be like we'd really be going, mellowing it down as the weekend goes. If you go from Aerosmith to ELO, Impact, I got a thing, and I get a really good deal. A friend of mine, I won't mention his name because I don't want to embarrass him if some people don't think this doesn't quite fit with the genre that we're talking about. I always felt that this band is sort of Little River Light, Little River Band Light. Impact's got Air Supply. But I just don't know that after a weekend of Aerosmith and ELO that Air Supply is going to be the way to wrap things up. It would really be mellowing it out. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk? You want to talk about some shows? Give us all right. I probably wouldn't put the Stones at the top of live shows that I've ever seen. I've still got to have Eagles at the very top,
right?
Of all the acts that I've seen live. But if you want to get in on that, just the best shows, the best bands that you have seen live, or an act that you would love to see that. You know, that could be possible. All right. I mean, if you can, maybe you can bring a band back together. I'm not talking about going back in the past, though, or AI to get the audio from somebody. If there's an opportunity to see a band, like one that I'd love, I'll tell you, I'd love for Roger and Pete to sort of get along a little bit better and see The Who. Don't know that that's going to happen, but I mean, it's possible.
Yep.
Come on in and join us as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
211-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com. Got Drew at the controls. Dan taking the day off. It's his dad's birthday, so they're having a big celebration for his dad today. He should be back in tomorrow. We'd love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Or you can text us on the Drive text box. That number, 334-564-1840. And that is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcast of The Drive. Well, Brian, all right, we were talking a little bit a while ago just about some of the talent coming in. It's been a lot. I mean, Auburn's got a lot going on. I mean, there's camps as well as visits. And, mm-hmm. I mean, there's some overlapping, but there's obviously some folks that are coming in just as visitors, others coming in as campers. And then you mentioned Blake Woodby a little while ago. He's done both.
Right. And just this past week, they had two elite camps, two 7-on-7 camps. The rest of the camps, I think, are just I know there's one for younger kids, right?
Right.
And then I think there's a ladies camp coming up, too, at some point here in the near future. But all the prospect camps, I believe, are done now. Official visitors-wise, they've got six in that came in officially, I think, today. And they're leaving, I think, Wednesday morning.
Usually, yeah.
Maybe Tuesday evening. We'll see. I haven't got that information yet. But, again, another very talented group. You got three really good pass rushers, Zion Grady, who's from down there in Enterprise.
Right.
Number three outside linebacker of the country. Isaiah Gibson from Georgia, who's committed to USC. Javion Campbell, another pass rusher from Kentucky. Caleb Edwards, one of the top tight ends in the country. He's from out there in California. So, once again, Auburn is recruiting nationally. Running back Shakai Mills-Knight from Chattanooga, Tennessee, another really talented kid. And then another four-star and Walter Mathis Jr., he's from Savannah, defensive tackle. So another talented group is in right now. They're going to have two more coming in midweek on Wednesday. Tight end Keyote Armstrong, which is Rivals 100, player from Jasper, Texas, again, national recruiter. And then Jaden Perlotte, who's been committed to Georgia for about 18 months. He's from Buford, Georgia, a linebacker. And then this weekend, they're going to have about a dozen more kids in. So you're talking about 20 kids in this week as they pretty much finish up this phase of official visits.
Yeah, I mean, it is impressive as we said right when we started, the continued number of high-profile players that Auburn's bringing in. Let's get back to the Drive hotline. Again, 334-321-1390. And, hi, go ahead. You're on the Drive. Who we got?
This is a Philly fanatic. Are you with me?
Yeah, how you doing? Hey, Joe.
I'm doing well. I'm really happy with the Phillies, but I really called about two things. One is about recruiting, and the other is about the best concert. I was playing golf over at Pine Crossing, and this young guy came up, and he wanted to play with me. And he said he was in Athens, Georgia, this Jefferson School. I thought that Central was the biggest. But anyway, he's a rising junior.
Mm-hmm.
And
2026.
He's a kicker.
Okay.
And he has just finished Central Florida and heading to Auburn, and he was evaluated. He said in high school that he had kicked a 64-yard field goal and 72 extra points in 1 year, and he was on the golf team, so he was obviously a lot better. And so what did you, if you knew about this guy, I think it's Tyler McCann. I don't even remember his name.
And where is he from again?
Athens. He said, I believe Jefferson
Athens,
High School.
Jefferson okay. High School, is it?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that school, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there are new schools that are popping up. I mean, it's sort of a situation like at some point you'd have to feel like there's going to be another one here in Auburn. But I mean, so I'm not familiar with Jefferson, but a kicker is a kind of guy that even if a school is fairly new, can definitely be noticed.
Well, he says that. The reason I bring it up, he said as a senior, they were going to offer NIL money to seniors who were five-star, and he was looking to get some of that. I had not known that in high school they were getting NIL money.
Well,
some states.
Yeah, and also, you know, kids that come on visits now, they're getting money for that too. So you can make some pretty good cash just going around the country on visits.
And you know what's and the thing is now their players aren't limited anymore, I believe, to 5 official visits, are they?
That's right.
So yeah. I mean, they can yeah. They can reel it in.
So I want to switch to the best concerts. I was a 19-year-old, 1969, was able to go to the first Woodstock.
Oh, so, wow. Well, I can't. All right. Look, nobody's gonna be able to top that one.
No way. I mean, The Who, Janis Joplin, the Santana, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. But
how much? I've got to hear a little. Got to take a little bit of your time here now. I've got to know. Got to know. You know how? I mean, how was it? We've seen. You know, I've talked to a couple of people that have been there, but where were you in relation to the stage, to the music, and who'd you actually who did you get to really hear that you could identify at the time?
Well, I was near the back because what was when we got there, it had rained and it was lightning and thunder, so we had to sit in a car. So the next day I got there, I was near the top. Of course, we didn't pay anything, and we didn't even have any money for food, but all that was provided. They had food. They had water. But I could hear the music, but it was hard to see anybody because we were so far away. God, it seemed like we were a quarter of a mile away.
Yeah, I bet.
But that's not the best. Well, I mean, that was the best as far as a lot of people. But the best concert I ever saw was Eric Clapton when he came in. He had just come out with Layla. And we were at the
Derek and the
Philadelphia, this very small venue, and we were an hour ahead of time, so we sat right up in front of Derek and the Dominoes with Eric Clapton, and that was their debut to see Layla, and it was really incredible.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned Layla, a good friend of mine was from Philly, and he was so he loved the song so much that he promised he'd name his first daughter Layla. Is what he would do because of that. But yeah, I've seen Clapton a couple of times, and it's hard to top any version of Eric Clapton. But just the thought of seeing like Layla basically being debuted is phenomenal.
Yep. Well, anyway, I thought I'd bring that up.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, they had the 40th reunion, and guess who played? Journey. They had Mountain. They had Journey. I can't remember all those.
Woodstock, right.
That was the 40th. Yeah, so that was really good. But anyway, I won't take any more of your time, but I'm looking forward to seeing if this kicker makes it at Auburn, Tennessee, or anywhere else, because he was pretty exciting. To kick 72 extra points, that means that they were – he said they're bigger than Clark Central. And, you know, Clark Central is where Georgia has gotten all these great players.
Absolute pipeline to Georgia.
Yeah, it was really good. So, anyway, just thought I'd mention that.
Great hearing from you. That is nothing. Yeah, all right. You don't have to try to top Woodstock or seeing Eric Clapton with Derek and the Dominoes. Was Almond still with him? I mean, he was Dwayne was part of the Dominoes. With Derek and the Dominoes, but yeah, my goodness, Eric Clapton is a couple of saw him in Atlanta, saw him in Birmingham, and fabulous when he was in Birmingham. He usually has somebody pop up with him. When he was in Birmingham, we were listening and they start playing a song that I went, this is not. This is not a Clapton song. You remember How Long by Ace? How long has this thing been going on? Yeah. All right. Paul Carrack, the lead singer for Ace, was the piano player there for Clapton. Oh. So they played that, and he just sort of sang that. And it's like,
That's cool. Oh,
okay. He's just got a guy who is known as one of the best voices in English from England. I mean, Paul Carrack is a guy that has been lead singer three or four different bands, and here he is just sort of, you know, traveling along playing the piano and singing background for Clapton. 334-321-1390, 13 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Love for you to join in as we continue. Yes, we'll talk more about recruiting, visiting, and, music is a lot of fun, too. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
Hey, this is Garrett.
ESPN 1067.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final segment of hour number one here on this Monday. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, we can stray off sports a little bit. I mean, sports and music, I mean, it's great when you do your Monday musings. I mean, I really am a little disappointed that we no longer I understand the reasoning. We can't play all the bumpers and everything that we used to because we're, you know, the authors deserve to be reimbursed when you play something. You can play like snippets, like less than 30 seconds of music for bumper music, as long as you don't use it for the same like either sponsor or something every time. So as long as it's random, right, you can do that. But I mean, yeah, it used to be fun on different days. You'd run, you know, songs that would be appropriate for that day or things like that.
Talk about the history a little bit.
Yeah. But I mean, we can still do that.
Yep.
And yes, if you want to chime in with some of the favorite bands or shows that you have seen music wise, or if there's one that you haven't had a chance to see and you'd like to get to, sure, I'd love to hear that. I mean, it doesn't matter whatever genre. I mean, I'm an old classic rock guy, so I mean, it's going to be more mine. Although I appreciate a lot of different music, and you know, depending on what kind of mood I'm in, you know, sometimes I can't see myself at certain concerts, but I can appreciate some of their music. Like the other night, I'm flipping around and I came across a recording I had of some of the best of John Prine. Now that ain't classic rock, but I mean, that's classic. That's some great stuff. All right. Mentioned a little earlier, Brian, we really haven't had you on since Auburn did make its hires in softball, and something that, you know, not you don't see every day.
No, you don't.
In co-head coaches.
Yeah, you don't
with see the Malvos.
I don't know that Auburn's ever done something like this.
I don't think Auburn has.
Yeah, not my knowledge, but it is interesting. Chris and Kate Malvo, I believe that's how you say it, hired as co-head coaches. They're both at Tennessee, successful assistants there. Tennessee's been a really hot program in the SEC of late.
And it's interesting that Tennessee had co-head coaches for nearly 20 years,
right,
and Chris and Kate came in there. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I mean, it has worked. Yeah. I mean, so there's the record of, you know, because that's the first thing I heard from a couple of people. How can that work? Well, it worked pretty well at Tennessee.
Right. You just hope they get along really well and have a great marriage, because you want to see that.
Yeah, you're right about that
too. Right. So yeah. But yeah, that was interesting, and we'll see. They've got some work to do, I think, rebuilding that program a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know. And replacing some key players from this past season.
Yeah, it was the Ralph and Karen Weekly were the husband-wife team at Tennessee. Ralph retired. Karen took over the job full-time, but I believe Ralph is still around, still comes to practices and sort of a consultant. That's a great marriage.
Yeah.
That to be able to do that. And so, yeah, hopefully things work for the Malvos as well. As we were saying a little while ago, I mean, this league is just it is so good in every sport, but softball's probably the toughest when you look at nationally, top to bottom, every team is competing and getting into getting into the tournament.
And you're only adding the two national finalists. Yeah. Oklahoma's the four-time national champion to the league in one more month, or less than a month, 20 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all you got. That's all you got to compete with. All right, we're halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Love for you to join in hour number two, which is coming up.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Monday Drive. Just getting underway here in the studio. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Dan's off today. He should be back in tomorrow. Drew is once again at the controls, so we'd love for you to join us here at hour number two of The Drive, which is brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can do so by calling the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390. Once again, it'll be a little different than it had been. It's been working for just about a week now. But when you call in, we won't be, Drew won't be able to pick it up and answer it. It'll automatically put you in queue, and you'll hear that connection swoosh, if you will. And that'll mean you are in queue and we will be able to bring you up and talk to you. Won't know who we're talking to until you're on the board. Now, if you call in and it just rings, one of two things. Either you've dialed the wrong number. No, you probably haven't. But if you call in and it's just ringing, once we have one right now with the situation we have with the phones, we're not able to stack calls. So when one is connected, it will just ring until it becomes available. So we'd love for you to join in here on the Monday edition of The Drive. We talked a good bit about Auburn recruiting, football recruiting. The Tigers, since last time we talked with Brian last Monday, had added a couple of commitments in Donovan Starr and Broderick Shull, a defensive back and an offensive tackle that they added late last week. But my goodness, Auburn has had more and more players visiting. They've got a half dozen players, I believe, on official visits as we speak today.
Yes. I think Zion Grady just arrived. Caleb reported that on our board. So that's one of the top pass rushers of the nation. I think he's number three outside linebacker in the country from over there in Enterprise. So this is shaping up to be a huge week of recruiting. Six are due in today.
And they're from all over the country.
Yep. California, Tennessee, Kentucky, Savannah. And then two more coming in on Wednesday, including Jaden Perlott, a Georgia commit, and Keyote Armstrong, a Rivals 100 tight end from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then this weekend, another 12 now are scheduled. That can change.
Juju Lewis, one of those guys,
yes,
right?
Including the number one overall player in the country, and Julian Lewis, the quarterback from Carrollton, Florida. So that's 20 guys approximately coming in this week to close out Auburn's summer of official visits. It should be a huge week for recruiting.
And again, I mean, it doesn't mean Auburn won't get more commits, as Brian was saying. You know, Auburn could get another one here pretty soon. A lot of these guys, the more prominent ones, are taking visits and would probably like to make a decision before they start practices, before their senior seasons sometime in August. So,
yes.
Again, Auburn's going to add more commitments, but, I mean, it may not be a handful right now. But things are setting up very well for Auburn to definitely be at 20-plus as they head into camp.
Yeah, I think most of the top guys will be closing out their official visits the following weekend, June 21st. Right now, Auburn plans to finish theirs this upcoming weekend, not having on the 21st. Always change. Things change all the time in recruiting.
Well, you'd like to have the opportunity in case, right, in case somebody wants to come in or you haven't gotten somebody in or they want to come back, that you can get them back. But it'd be great to go ahead and have everybody in beforehand and then see what happens after that.
After that, I don't sure exactly when the dead period starts, but there's going to be a period where, you know, you can't bring guys on campus,
right,
for official visits. And then at the end of the July, that opens back up, and Auburn will have their Big Cat weekend. I think it's Saturday, July 27th, I believe is the correct date. And
what kind of numbers are you thinking of for that?
30 plus.
Okay.
Easy. You're going to bring all your top 25 guys in that can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you want to bring in the elite
26
and 27s,
yeah,
too. So it'll probably be maybe 30 is a low number right now. But you also don't want to overdo it where it's just out of control.
You want to have – well, you remember in the past when Auburn has had a large crowd, there have been a couple of players that might have been concerned they didn't get enough individual time.
Right, right. But this staff does an incredible job of recruiting, and they make sure everybody – gets attention that they want to get attention, so they'll handle it. You know, that they'll make sure however many they bring in the right number.
And then the other thing that will be Auburn will have that. Are they done with camps?
Yeah, they've done all the prospect camps. That's what I call them. They probably don't call them the elite camp. They had two of those. They had 2 7-on-7 camps. A ton of kids were through here, including mm-hmm. Julian Lewis was here. And then they're going to have a. I don't know when it is. It may be today, but they're having a younger kid camp, you know, development,
mm-hmm.
you know, just
right.
coach them up, have fun camp. And then they're having a ladies camp coming up too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has been busy over at the complex and will continue. Now, you don't have much off time. The end of this month, when there is a little bit of a dead period, is going to be, that's it. That's going to be the closest thing there is to downtime.
Yeah.
As far as recruiting, when you're talking about high school and then the transfer portal.
It is. And I would expect Auburn to come out of this, you know, in this month with a few more commitments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just guessing. I think they're going to pick up
July is when I would expect the heavy.
And there's already two Auburn targets that I feel pretty good about. They've already announced a date in July they're going to announce. And I think Auburn could pick up another commitment here in the next 24 hours or so from the safety kid from Baltimore,
Deez.
Maryland,
mm-hmm.
Deez, yep, who was down here this past weekend. And then rolling into July and then Big Cat weekend, I would think Auburn's going to be well over 20 by then.
Yeah, and you know, now that you don't have the 25, it's just the 85. Really,
right.
all you're concerned with is the 85. Auburn's under 80, I believe, right now for scholarships for this fall. Now, you know, one thing, I don't remember if we talked about this last week or not, I don't know that Auburn is done, although I haven't heard of any specific players Auburn's really going after in the transfer portal. I mean, there is still a possibility that Auburn could add a player or two for the 24 season.
All the way up to fall camp, I think it's possible, you know. And, you know, they get those guys on campus during certain periods and – you know, have them work out and do different things too if they want to. The dead period does start June 24th and it goes through July 24th. So that's a month.
Wow.
Basically, where the coaches can take vacations. You know, they'll rotate them, and you know the current team will all be here and they'll be working out and
right.
doing captain's practices. So coaches need to be around for that too. But they'll rotate through that for a month then, and then get ready for that big final push in July, and then you'll have the start of fall practice, and we'll be off and running again for another season.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, get a little bit like you said, there will be – it's not like there won't be anybody home. There will be some folks that are around, but it'll be – that's the closest thing to an opportunity for a little bit of a break for the coaching staff. All right, if Auburn were looking for any help for the 24 season, where do you know, what positions do you think it might be?
I think they might look for a cornerback. They could look for a running back, you know, just to come in and provide depth. And then, you know, if there's somebody out there they feel like is young and has the potential to develop into a starter at any position, right? Bringing a young guy that can help them out somewhere. But I don't know if those guys are out there anymore. But yeah, you just never know sometimes.
No, I don't know. I mean, there could
or
be a
junior college that gets qualified late.
That Auburn's had that happen a few times.
Yep.
Isn't that where Champ Anthony came along a year ago?
He came along, I think it was the first week of June, like June 7th or 8th, uh-huh. I think it was, something like that, when he announced his commitment to Auburn. So all these things can happen. So I think Auburn's roster for football is basically done. All the commitments are here now, all 20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Everybody qualified. They could still, if possible, pick up one or two here or there.
Any possibility? I mean, the other one I wondered about, I mean, since Auburn had pursued Khalil Jacobs, I wondered if Auburn might be, you know, if there was a linebacker out there that Auburn
might take. Yeah, that's another position thing.
Yep. Take.
Yep, that's a good point there. So I think that's another position. If the right one was available, they might jump on that too.
Yeah, so, I mean, you never know. They're doing such a good job. And Will Redmond, I think, and the whole staff with Hugh Freeze have really done a great job of sort of learning from last year. I remember Hugh Freeze talking to us about maybe he didn't do a great job with the transfer portal. They have they've been much more proactive than reactive, it seems like, this time through.
Oh, I agree. I think they have done better. So far they've signed 14 transfer players. I think they've helped themselves out immensely at wide receiver, you know, especially with Keandre Lambert-Smith there from Penn State there late, getting a guy that was their leading receiver for a really good Big Ten offense.
Right.
You know? And they helped themselves out with four defensive linemen, which was huge for them. They got a tight end they feel like can be a guy who could be a good player in the future.
He's a good-looking athlete.
Yep. They got a left tackle with SEC starting experience that'll probably be Auburn starting left tackle, Percy Lewis. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then they got what I think is one of the most important ones. They got a pass rusher in Kieron Crawford that can come in and back up Jalen McLeod and let those freshmen come along a little bit slower, not throw them into the heat right away necessarily.
Yeah, so now it's just, have everybody, get a little more familiar with the system, the guys that weren't here through the spring. Because Auburn had a few guys after spring. I mean, they've got to get familiar with the terminology and sort of build the chemistry there, but that's what you're looking for. Over the summer, this is the time when everybody's hopes should be pretty high. I mean, I would think just about everybody's team's thinking, well, if that goes well, and you've also we're heading into the first year of the 12-team playoff.
Yep.
So
exciting.
If you can get to 9 wins
in the SEC or Big Ten, you got a chance.
I think you got a shot.
Yep. You absolutely do. Absolutely, you do. And I don't think Auburn should expect to do that, but you just never know. Sometimes.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we'll play them. I mean, what do you think of the feeling that we have right now in the SEC with we know we're going to play 8-game conference schedules this year and next year. I was hoping maybe that there'd be some movement more toward the 9-game conference schedule by now, but I guess there's no rush because we know we're set for the next 2 years.
Yeah, and maybe it works out when they go from 12 to 14 or wherever they go to for sure. That's when Auburn can look. I mean, that's when the SEC can look to maybe adjusting, and they would have a couple of years of, okay, we have 8 conference games. These other conferences have 9. What works better as far as getting how many teams into the playoffs, because that's what matters, right?
Yeah.
You want to maximize your playoff possibilities, bringing more money to the conference and bringing the chances of winning more national championships to the conference. So I think that's what they're going to look at, and I think that's why they decided to hold it 8 for now.
I sort of hope we don't go to 14. I'd rather, if you're going to go ahead and expand, go to 16.
I want more games on campuses and less games that are pretending to be bowl games.
Well, I mean, and we saw, and we're efforting John Cohen, see if we can get him on the drive. I saw a week ago where he made a couple of comments where the more the merrier. Well, why stop there?
Right.
So, I mean, you've got 24 teams in the F FCS playoffs.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
24 there. So why not, you know, at least 16? But I mean, I guess you really want to reward some folks with buys. If you go to 24, sure, you've got the top eight teams getting buys. And realistically, it's hard to imagine someone outside the top eight being good enough to win the national title.
It is.
I mean, I can see, I've seen quite a few times when teams that are 7 or 8, I felt like they could compete with anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Oh, do we? I didn't realize we had a call.
Great.
And yeah, we just have to sort of keep an eye. And when the phone lights up, that means we have a call. So instead of getting to break, which I was about to do, let's get to the phone lines. 334-321-1390. And go ahead. Who have we got here on the drive?
Hey, Bill, does this remind you of your first days back in Montgomery, Alabama, when people actually call the radio station and you had to pick the phone up and say, hello, caller, who is this?
Absolutely it does. Hey, we weren't, you know, we were working on the technology. There wasn't sophisticated technology like there is available now. But, yeah, we were just glad to have anybody, and if it was a wrong number, that's fine.
Well, I tell you, it was so much fun, though, and real quick, I grew up on a dairy farm, and our milk time at night was from midnight until about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to know the overnight guys because people actually had to sit in the studio and spin the records.
Oh,
and
yes.
So you would call and say, hey, Bill or Tom or whoever, hey, can you play this? What's going on? And they're just sitting up there smoking cigarettes, chain smoking, you know, drinking Coca-Colas, trying to stay awake.
A lot of coffee. And yeah, the rooms that had been painted either white or blue or green because of the cigarette smoke. Yep.
Yeah. But it's just the children, it's just, things have changed a whole lot. All right. First of all, real quick, I'm going to hit 3 points real quick. Best concert I ever went to, Brooks and Dunn at Beard East Coliseum.
Hmm.
Best concert I ever went to, Kix Brooks came in at the opening, and Ronnie Dunn was standing on stage, and he was singing, and Brooks comes in on a cable, flying in, playing the guitar.
Oh, wow.
And drops down. And this is back when, you know, country, like rock or whatever it was in the early 90s. And
late 80s, early 90s, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all that. But Kix Brooks is probably the best entertainer I ever saw at a concert. If I could go back in time, the one concert I would like to see is Pink Floyd, The Wall. When they did the rock opera,
oh yeah,
The Wall. I've got that CD set of it. It's live from somewhere, and I think it's like 6 or 8 CDs, man. It is like, but it's really a rock opera. It is. It's weird. Those cats are weird, but I really loved it.
Oh yeah, I saw Pink Floyd during the Pigs tour up in at Legion Field. But that's
I really would have loved it because I really love them, because that's kind of where music, in my opinion, that's where music started after that era of them. Man, I was born in 1973, Bill,
mm-hmm,
and I saw the songs that were number one in 1973 right now. And, man, it made me feel older than I feel when I wake up in the morning. Don't want to close my eyes. It was in 73. That's how old the Aerosmith song was.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, we got our mutual friend, Jake Crane with Crane and Company.
Yep.
Friend of the show. They do this thing called Best and Worst,
mm-hmm,
from time to time. So I'm going to give you my best and worst of the weekend, and it's the exact same thing. It's both the best and the worst.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Auburn's 4x100 relay team is my best national champions.
Yep.
I was not great at track. I was pretty good. I competed against people like Reed, McMillan. I didn't win against people like Reed McMillan, but I at least saw them. Shane Wasden. I'm a Hooper boy. That's a Morgan and a Meadowview boy.
Right.
If you watch that 4x100, that first pass from 1 to 2, and if you don't know track, you won't realize how beautiful that was. That was the most perfect. That's an Olympic pass. There was not a stride broken. Second pass was pretty good. And then the third pass was just about as beautiful. And Auburn just absolutely destroyed the field.
Yeah, it takes that, too, because I don't know how many times you've seen the best relay team in the world, you know, have a muff or, you know, or a near miss on a handoff on the relay, and it cost them.
And that's the thing, though. I mean, Bill, that is those batons, they weigh ounces. Mm-hmm. They're like 3 or 4 ounces. You can barely feel them, and it's very easy to drop them. You've got to. But if you'll watch on that on number
one, I need
one,
to see. I have not watched. I haven't seen it yet, so I really do too.
Oh, Bill, you got to see it. The number one runner, he almost falls down when he's laying out. But the number two guy, he never breaks stride, and he is running wide open. Now, you run a 38.03. That means that you got 4 guys running less than a 10-second 100 and passing a stick to one another. This takes me to my worst. The dadgum guy that's calling the race, he calls Auburn Houston, and Houston's USC. He said, Houston wins the race. USC's coming up. Now it's Houston. It was Auburn and LSU were 1 and 2. Yeah. And then he goes, oh, a 38-38. That's a great time. No, it was a 38-0. He got the time wrong.
Oh, man. I haven't seen it. And I've got to watch this here during the break. I've got it queued.
I found the entire race, if you go to YouTube and just put Auburn 4x100.
Yep.
And they're sitting
I've got
there,
it queued up. I'm ready to watch it.
And kudos to Auburn as well. We come in second, and Coach said if we'd have won the 100, we'd have actually won the national championship.
Right.
And the Houston kid, and I mean, hats off to him. He beat our kid by 0.04 seconds. 0.04 seconds. Lost Auburn the national championship in track. And how cool would that have been?
Yeah, no kidding.
This is back in the Frank Sanders days and the Bo Jackson days when we were running track and really making a splash.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so Auburn had such great, great sprinters for so long. It's great to have that back.
Well, we dang sure got them now. I mean, these cats can fly. And I love track and field, and so it really did my heart well, except for the stupid guy that – didn't know which state. He was like, that looked like a big old H. I was like, Houston in a blue uni with orange and white AU on the front of it. You thought that was Houston. Come on, dude. You got to be better than that.
That's some great stuff. Really, really appreciate the call.
You, Bill, when you find it, you will really appreciate how bad that was as a commentator.
Like I said, I've got it queued up. We're about to watch it.
All right, bud. We'll talk to you later.
Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. I know we're behind. You can join in as well here on the Monday Drive.
What's it mean to be a four? Four Seasons Federal Credit Union member.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
All right, so I just did watch it. I had to, you've got like the full lead in 5 minutes worth there on YouTube. And the poor announcer, he got there talking. He was talking about all the teams that were in there, and Houston was on the outside of Auburn. I don't know where he got that from. The guy just got lost as to who was running where, because, yeah, as the caller said, he said Houston and USC, and it was Auburn and LSU. LSU had won the SEC, and Auburn had finished second. And Auburn's time going in, their best time going in was a 38-34, and they ran a 38-03. The guy just would have been better just to have video. if you want to watch it without the audio, it's great to see.
It's entertaining with the audio too.
Yeah, it is. Especially once you win and you know it's like the guy's wrong. But I was saying it reminds me of the old. I used to have a vinyl album of radio bloopers. Wow. Couldn't play most of them on the air, but it's funny, I was thinking about one the other day. I know what it was. We're on the way back from the Stones concert. And we were there at the MARTA station. There's a Greyhound station right there as well. And I said, yeah, that reminded me of the blooper. The blooper was there was a live DJ, like the caller was saying, you know, back in the day, there were always live announcers. There were always somebody was there running the station. I mean, they were either playing music or they were pushing buttons to have different programs going, whatever, And the live announcer, he had a live read. And it'd be it's commercial. Instead of playing a pre-recorded commercial, you'd read the commercial live. And he was talking along, and he said, this is brought to you by Greyhound. Don't drink and drive. Take Greyhound and leave the drinking to us. And then he goes right on. You know, of course, when you make a mistake like that, sometimes the best thing is just go on. Don't even go back and explain what you did wrong, because sometimes people won't even realize it. But you pretty much realized what he was talking about when he kept going Auburn. Oh, that's Auburn, and then he got things more wrong. But again, congratulations to Coach Leroy Burrell and the Tigers finishing second by 1 point in the men's track and field championships out in Eugene. All right. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, music-wise, in case you're just joining us this hour, you may not have heard. I mean, we were talking about, I was mentioning the show over in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz. What a crowd. Huge crowd there for the Rolling Stones. The merch line, I swear, when we went in, the merch line was a block long. Wow. I mean, it was unbelievable to get it. And I don't know that I saw maybe two couples where at least one of them wasn't wearing some Stones gear. They were doing pretty well. But great show. And so we were talking about great concerts that you've been to. And then if there are any that you could go to. Now, sure, it could be easier if we threw in, if you could teleport yourself, if you could go back in time and see some bands that are no longer around. That's a shame. That's why we're trying, but again, that's why we're trying to do this while there's still some of these classic acts that are still around. See them before they're gone, because you never know.
Tom Petty, for instance.
Oh, yes. I would have loved to have seen Tom and the Heartbreakers, but didn't get that chance, and sadly that's gone. So but if there's a show that you've seen that you really liked, or another one that you could get to, you know, that now I'm not saying, you know, you have to be able to afford it, because they're not cheap anymore.
No,
they're definitely more expensive. I think the first Eagles concert that we went to was around $12 a ticket.
Yeah, see, I was thinking, I went to, my first concert was Van Halen and Motley Crue at the Omni, and I think it was 84. And I think that ticket was $14, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw,
I'm pretty sure I was on the floor too, but it's been a long time.
We were dang front row for the Eagles and Elton John here.
Woo.
And I don't think that those tickets combined cost $25 for the two shows. But yeah, so don't worry about it. I mean, we're just having fun though, just reliving some great concert memories or others that you'd like to go to, and obviously sports. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break here coming up, and then we'll talk a little bit more about some of the players who have been in and visited Auburn, as it is a busy time recruiting wise. Love for you to join in here in the final half hour of the Monday Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final 20 minutes or so here of the Monday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Got Drew at the controls. Again, Dan off today. He should be back in tomorrow. Brian, we've talked a good bit about the latest commitments, some guys to keep an eye on, some of the players that are going to be coming in. Who have been some of the highlights of the some of the more prominent guys that have been here at Auburn recently?
Yeah, Auburn had 8 guys in over the weekend, a really talented group. 2 of those guys are already committed to Auburn, and Tavares Dice, the big offensive lineman, probably up guard, but you know, maybe a right tackle, maybe even a center. They wanted to move him there. And then Tyler Lockhart, got to see him in person for the first time. Very impressive looking physically. He's put together really well for an outside linebacker. He's a very talented kid from Mississippi. They both, I think, just short out their commitments this weekend. You had Alabama commitment Derek Smith in.
Yeah, they brought in players. I mean, they're getting players that are committed, that are top players that are committed wherever. I mean, nobody, you know, Auburn included, is going to give up on these guys as long as the players will visit.
And Hugh Freeze has already shown
his
first month at Auburn and then last year that he will absolutely flip a player, and that includes players from Alabama, Georgia, Florida State, you name it. So that's one. I think Derek really likes Auburn a lot and wants to hold off for a final decision until close to signing day. He is probably returning for Big Cat and will probably be at a number of games this fall. So Auburn's definitely in it for him. He's a 4-star athlete, but Auburn likes him as a wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn is definitely, I mean, they want to load it up at the receiver spots.
Yep.
I mean, Caleb Cunningham, Caleb Cunningham from Mississippi. And
Auburn
Derek Smith.
Leader a week ago, yep. Travis Smith, another big, tall receiver. I think he's around 6'3", 6'4". I think everybody probably has him penciled into Georgia. He visited there at the end of May. He's at Alabama, I think, this coming up weekend. He's at Tennessee the next weekend and then plans a decision July 13th. And I think he's pretty wide open. He didn't name a leader or anything, but I think Auburn's in the mix there, and we'll just have to wait and see. Jacoby Ward is a big old offensive guard. Auburn was the leader coming into the visit. Auburn is still the leader, still plans to visit Tennessee this upcoming weekend and possibly LSU, and then probably have a decision sometime not too far after that. No, actually, it's July 4th is his decision date. Antonio Coleman's another interesting one. Committed to Alabama, flipped to Auburn.
Oh, yeah, he has been back and forth.
Flipped back to Alabama. Still really, really likes Auburn. I think Auburn's done a great job staying in contact with them, recruiting him hard and fair. And he now plans to hold off on a final five decision until close to signing day, probably end of November. We'll officially visit Alabama this upcoming weekend. And I think it's just Auburn, Alabama for him all the way. He's from Sarah Land down there in South Alabama. Rivals 100 outside linebacker Kristen Jones, another pass rusher, and the number 7 outside linebacker of the country was here. He is from, is he from Nebraska? I think he's from Nebraska. He is visiting Nebraska this weekend, Oklahoma the next weekend, also has Wisconsin among his favorites. I think he had a good trip to Auburn. I think he felt really welcome, liked the home feeling. I don't know exactly where Auburn stands for him. We'll have to wait and see. So those are the guys that were in this weekend. But coming out of that, I really like Auburn's chances with Jacoby Ward for sure. Oh, I did mention Nate Marshall, number one.
Yeah, he's from Illinois, right?
Strong
big
side.
Defensive, yeah.
Yep, committed to Michigan. I think Auburn made a real push for him. He's going to Michigan the 21st of June for his official there. So that'll be one that could go back and forth here for a while. We'll see. But I think Auburn is definitely pushing for him. Obviously, Michigan's much closer to home, so and the defending national champs. So we'll see on that
one. Yeah, but they've got a new coach. But, yeah. I mean, he was there. So, yeah, I mean, it's Auburn's recruiting, I mean, all over the place.
Yes, they are.
Is there an area or areas where you feel like Auburn is putting more emphasis? Sure seems like receivers, tight ends. I mean, obviously, I think they want to sign multiple tight ends for this next year because – what have they got, three or four guys that will be out of eligibility this year at that spot?
And they've already got five offensive line commits, and I think they'll take at least one more, maybe even two more. We'll see, depending on what happens. And, yes, tight ends is a big area of need. They're probably going to sign three. They've got one committed in that right now, and Ryan Gaia, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. G-A-G-A.
Right, but he'll be in it for his official, I think, this weekend or this week at some point. Defensive back, cornerbacks, and safeties. I think they're going to sign seven or eight total of those. They really need to reload that position a little bit. And, you know, they're still looking for that one quarterback in this class. They don't have a running back commit yet, no? Mm-mm. So they need two running backs. And they need some nose guards, some defensive linemen, I think four or five total defensive linemen, you know, guys that are – D tackles and mostly nose guards and maybe one D end.
Yeah, I mean they're really pushing for an awful lot. I mean, they appear to be in good shape for a lot of these spots as you head in. I mean, I look at the roster for this next year, and again, like I said, the 25 isn't the key anymore; it's the 85. But Auburn's got more than 25 seniors on the roster.
Yeah.
So they're going to have another big – they should have another big class.
Yeah, and I think they lost 20 in the portal after this past season.
Mm-hmm. Lost 20 and added 14 or something.
And I don't think it'll be that many after this upcoming season.
Shouldn't be.
But still, you can anticipate at least double figures, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't lose 8 to 12 somewhere in there, then it's really a surprise. I mean, because there are going to be some players that just disappointed in their lack of playing time or, you know, for whatever reason – are going to look elsewhere. So,
and I don't know what the perfect number of high school players to take are, because if you take too many aren't going to play.
Yeah.
And they're going to be disappointed. They're going to leave, and you're not getting the return on those guys like you want to. Like if you sign a high school guy, a talented one, you feel like you're investing in that kid for 3 years. And sometimes if you just go get a transfer kid, you may be investing in him for 1 or 2 years, right? So the high school player is a better player to get, but if you get too many – then they might get frustrated and leave, and you're losing out. So you got to sort of find that spot.
Oh, it's really difficult because you've got you can look and you can get more proven commodity, somebody who's shown, has some experience at least a level above high school that you can get in. But if you get those guys and you're preventing the younger players from playing and developing, they're going to leave, and then when the older guys are gone, you've got a big hole.
Right.
So it's it is very difficult. Roster management has become, critical now.
It really has. And it's not just looking at the numbers. You got to look at the value of those players, how much you have to invest in them, how much value they can give you to you over how many years. It just gets you need accountants and investment.
Oh, you've got to have a team that's handling that. I mean, I just can't imagine now with the proposed settlement there that's out there with the House versus NCAA of paying $2.8 million to players that played 8 years ago up till 4 years ago and determining who gets what, how much, who's worth, how many. You know, it's now how much did you play, how well did you play when you played that much, and who did you play again, the quality of competition, all the numbers that go into the formula.
Yep. And you've now got 22 or so million in revenue sharing starting out next year.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Yep. Well, that's what's expected.
Yeah, so it's going to be wild. Really, a lot of changes coming to college football. Oh. We're not through it yet.
We're nowhere near through it. I mean, we don't know the hows or anything about this. That's why I mean SEC meetings. Greg Sankey was so vague about everything, because nobody knows. You're not really sure. You don't want to say something that might be wrong, or you know, get anybody headed down the wrong road. So.
Right, because we still have, revenue sharing coming for sure, and NIL is still here too, and it's not going away unless there's some sort of law passed to change things. So you could eventually get to revenue sharing and NIL, mm-hmm. and then you're talking a lot of money and a lot of competition for some of these players.
Well, I mean, I really wonder. I mean, I've been feeling, and I don't know that I'm anywhere near right. And again, hopefully when we get a chance to talk to John Cohen, he can at least, you know, head us in the right direction, that this might just sort of up the bottom line. It feels like that if things, I mean, I can't imagine anything taking the opportunity for your name, image, and likeness away from players. But if there is revenue sharing, that would seem like, all right, that's a guarantee
right.
that everybody's going to get. And then certain ones deserve more. Because, right. I mean, that's the way it should be.
Yep. But you've also got to deal with your, well, you call them customers, or whatever, but your alumni and your supporters who are getting – like, we need more money, we need more money, we need more money, right?
And it's so, like, yeah, what am I getting for it?
Yeah, so it's a tough time to be a college administrator right now in the sports department.
I am sure of that. Yep. All right, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Monday Drive.
Hey, this is Kyle Rush with BC Stone Homes.
We'd like at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes here on the Monday Drive with Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, where, I mentioned it a while ago. I mean, one of the things I look forward to every week is the Monday musings. And we just ran an Uncle Keith's Red Sauce spot, and that's pretty appropriate since
yes.
he sponsors your Monday musings.
And we heard from Uncle Keith himself, which
that's
I
right.
thought was great. But it is,
I don't know if that's him whistling in the commercial, but
maybe. But it is absolutely delicious, and I encourage everybody to give it a try. And like you said, locally you can find it at Publix and Kroger's and Piggly Wiggly's, and across the state, Renfro's, Publix, and Piggly Wiggly's, and some surrounding states too, and it's a terrific salsa. Can be used in other ways too. My wife's already used it in a couple of different of her recipes, and it's turned out really, really good. And it just tastes really fresh. And if you've been just buying the regular salsa that you see in the stores, I won't name it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be surprised by how much better Uncle Keith's red sauce tastes. And it comes in the original, and then it comes in a hot.
Yeah, it has become the go-to evening snack. It's like mm-hmm. if I get a little hunger crave after supper.
Perfect.
Oh man, it is absolutely. It is absolutely great. Well, speaking of, you know, since Uncle Keith sponsors the Monday Musings, there's so much more than that for folks at AuburnSports.com.
Yes, and this week it'll be mainly about recruiting. 6 visitors coming in today, 2 more coming in Wednesday, around a dozen this weekend. It's going to be a very, very, very busy time for Auburn recruiting. I'd expect commitments. I'd expect news, leaders, all sorts of stuff coming in the next 24 hours and beyond this week. So we'll have full coverage of that and more at AuburnSports.com this week. You can follow me on Twitter/X and Threads at BMATAU.
Has Caleb just got a tent over there?
Pretty much, yeah. That's how it's got to be.
I mean, really. Well, I mean, you used to do that. Yeah. I mean, you know,
and I still go over there now, but yeah. I'm not sitting there the whole time. I'm there at the right time, right?
Yeah,
to catch them.
Well, you're getting a little heads up as to when the right times are because somebody needs to be there just in case.
That's right. Because you never know.
Yeah, I mean, at this time of year when so many players can come and go, it's very good if there's somebody there keeping an eye out so somebody doesn't slip by.
Oh, yeah, because you just never know who's going to show up on campus. And especially with this staff, they do such a great job recruiting top-level talent. I wrote about it in my Monday Musing, sponsored by Keith's Red Sauce. Just the incredible job they are just getting highly rated, highly recruited players on campus, which I think makes – a huge difference for Auburn recruiting.
And, you know, there were some people who went, well, I just don't know if that can be done here at Auburn. Yes, it can. Yeah. You just got to do it.
Yep. It takes hard work, and you, Freeze, and his staff work really, really hard at it. And This is the result of that, right? This is the result
you're
of somebody.
You're starting to see the results. Yeah. I mean, you're going to see more and more results, I believe, from their continued work. I mean, that's the thing. He, you know, when he does it, when the leader, when the head of the program does it, then you get more and more results as you go on down. I mean, if you're, you know, if the top guy doesn't believe in it, it's hard to expect that you're going to get great results from the assistants.
And that's what we saw for the previous 2 years, unfortunately.
Yes.
And yeah, I think Gus and his staff, you know, believed in it, but, you know, Gus was not a rah-rah, go-get-em leader of the pack, you know.
No, Gus just wasn't that, I mean, serious closer. I mean, you've got to have somebody that is that loves getting out there and just doing that.
And you freeze and go head-to-head with any coach in the country and win a recruiting battle. You're not going to win them all because there's other great coaches out there like Kirby and, the guy at Ohio State, of course. But Auburn
recruiting. But he's right there. He's right there with them.
This is what Auburn people have been waiting for. And when they keep recruiting like this, they're going to start playing a lot better on the field, and they're going to start putting more players in the NFL.
No question. Brian, really appreciate it. It's always great to have you in.
Enjoyed it. Thanks
yeah, have a great
me.
Rest of the week. All right, we are out of time here on the Monday Drive. Dan should be back tomorrow. We should have Andy Burcham with us in hour number one, Jake Crane in the second hour, and hopefully you as well, you our listeners. That's going to do it for the Monday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.